We're starting the podcast now.
Welcome back.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Standby Moments podcast.
Just a little behind the scenes for you. We were literally talking about what we were going to talk about, and then Jamie just started this podcast.
That's the best way to start them. I am Jeremy. You're one of your hosts, Jeremy, the Bullfrog LeCompte. I like it. I'll tell that story one day.
You did, right?
No, I did. We didn't record it.
Oh.
I told it off air. Who are you?
Maggie.
Just Maggie. Just Maggie. Perfect. And we have the producer.
Yo.
Miss Producer Whitney.
Well.
Welcome.
Welcome back to the podcast. Y'all, I just got to tell you, it's been a wild ride. We have done so good so far in season two that we are like doing two podcast recordings a week.
We feel like this might be a full-time job now.
Yeah. So all of you sponsors that's been holding out on us, you should show up so we can retire. Some of us are quitting, but others still have to work. So,
yeah. Don't know who's quitting.
We'll tell y'all eventually. Anywho, so producer has been producing hardcore, and she's been like running us ragged with these recordings. She's like snapping her fingers and telling us when to show up and where to do it and come up with questions and ideas. It's almost like this is a real thing.
Yeah.
So
pretty well.
I give you a hard time about that to say I really appreciate you.
Yeah.
Whitney, I have noticed that you have been working hard and running us like a show, and we appreciate you and love you for it.
You're welcome. I'm glad to do it for you guys.
I mean, I don't know if Whitney, what's your name? Maggie. I don't know if Maggie does, but I do. She didn't affirm what I just said.
I appreciate Whitney so much.
There you go. See?
Thanks, guys.
So
I do hope this month is a little crazy with the recording. So I'm hoping we do like,
well, next month, we get a little crazy I get a little crazy. So,
well, the month of March is dadgum out of control for
us.
It's
insane. Yeah.
That's right. We have Easter.
Yeah, we have three events a week for like the next 4 weeks.
Gross.
Or 5 weeks. Yeah.
With all that to say, the reason we're telling you this is because we have no news.
We have some news. Really. Yeah, we have some news. But
our intro talking about, we kind of talked about everything.
Yeah. I mean, we got some new stuff.
There's been 2 days.
There has been 2 days.
Since we last talked.
Yeah. But today's recording was really good.
It was pretty awesome.
I am super excited about the Whittles.
Yeah, they're amazing.
I was telling Maggie, before you got in here, Whitney, I was telling Maggie, I was like, man, I'm nervous. She said, about what? I said, to interview the Whittles. She's like, why? And I said, because I have no idea who these people are. I mean, like, we've come across each other, you know, like, and we share some of those. But, like, I felt like, I don't know, it's like a new kind of nervousness.
Yeah, and then I said, don't worry, we'll start talking and then I'll be fine.
Like, it always is.
Yeah. But, no, they were super cool. Probably our most pro interview yet.
Sorry, Jamie. Jeez.
Well, I don't mean professional. I mean just like.
Like we did a pro job.
There were two people.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
So to combine their.
I guess they have like, yeah, their achievements. I mean, they're super cool though. They were like so down to earth.
I think that was the coolest part about it is just to get to like, we know them. Well, I mean, I've known Matt for I think 11 years now, being able to work with him, and he is so good at what he does, but he is the goofiest thing in the world. And then having to been able to get to know Rachel, the last couple of years a lot more, they are genuine. And I love that.
No, straight up.
Straight up genuine people.
Yeah, they're pretty awesome. So I'm excited for everybody to hear it.
Yeah, they're coming in a minute. But before then, a couple weeks ago, I'd mentioned I was going to the Blake Shelton concert.
You did. That's right.
And all Jeremy.
Then I never said anything. That's because a couple weeks passed and I've now attended.
How was it?
It was... you know, good. It was good.
Is not country still the backbone of America?
Absolutely. Blake Shelton was incredible.
By the way.
You just said it was.
No, him as a human being is incredible.
They have not checked their text messages, I don't think. We got a message from Jamie Arulian just now as we were filming, recording this podcast. He is upset that JD got a call in.
Oh, is that what that meant?
Yes. He must be listening to the JD podcast. I mean, the Kieran podcast.
He's listening to the Kieran podcast.
Freaking JD calling.
Jamie is not happy.
So I read it while we were recording, I said like I had no idea what it meant.
Well, Jamie's winning. He's literally been a guest twice. That's he's true. Been a guest. That's
and true. And we've mentioned him every single podcast. Goodness.
And here we are mentioning
him again. All JD has said was, that's a dumb statement. He that's did. Only four words.
And yet we're still not calling Jamie.
Oh, my goodness. I feel like we have to call him.
We need
to call
Jamie.
He better answer. But Maggie doesn't have a lot of time. So, Jamie, you answer the phone when we call you.
This is going to be a long episode, but I promise it's worth it.
How long? Yeah, it's going to be. Anyway, so while we're calling, yes, country is still the backbone. I think I really like Blake Shelton. Like, so his concert wasn't amazing. The sound, I was a little thrown away by the sound. The lighting wasn't very impressive to start. I just expected more, but they really, like, figured out. They got it.
Your call has been forwarded. The person you're trying to reach is not available.
Why is this person British?
That's amazing.
He just said, can't answer right now.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Respond to him. Unbelievable. I don't even know how to spell it. Anyway, concert.
Wait, he's calling back.
Because he knew. He thinks it's
hello, you're on the Standby Moments podcast. We are recording.
Yes.
But we
we were recording as you sent that text.
Oh, and you were like, oh, he denied me.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, and we were just talking about it.
What's the podcast? What's the question?
What's the podcast?
Well, do you think that country music is the backbone of America?
We're waiting.
We're starting the podcast. Nope.
No, we already started the podcast. The
you
question
didn't answer
is
the question.
Is
well, I didn't hear the question. I didn't hear the question.
Is country music the backbone of America?
No.
What?
No way.
Unbelievable.
Thank you.
Jamie, we have to go.
There's much deeper roots than just straight country music.
Thank you, Jamie.
Bluegrass.
You gotta go to New Orleans, baby.
Jazz music?
Dude, I'm telling you, there's some much older roots. It's there.
Alright, we have to go.
I appreciate your response, Jamie.
Thank you. Thank you. I love y'all. Thank you for finally calling me in.
we'll try to make it a habit.
We love you too.
We love you, Jamie.
I'm from the super downtown.
Bye.
Bye.
Unbelievable.
I like how next he week? Figured that that's what was happening and he had to call back.
Yeah, he figured it out. Yeah. What did it say?
It's from Matt.
Oh, don't read it right now. That's anywho, so the concert was good. I took some videos. I did get some inspiration from it. Blake Shelton is funny. I enjoy him as an entertainer. That's why I wanted to go.
That's fair.
Yeah, his concert, not amazing. His music's really good. I didn't realize how long he's been playing, though.
Gwen Stefani was there.
Gwen did show up, yeah. It's bananas. Anywho, so I went to the concert. For all of you who are wondering, I did enjoy it. It wasn't the most amazing thing I've ever been a part of in my entire life.
Okay.
My expectations were a little bit higher. I was a little sad about that. But towards the end, I felt like they really got the PA dialed in and the lights dialed in. And it was, you know, I mean, I know it's a show. They've probably ran it 1,000 times already. But I feel like it got better over time. That or my ears got worse.
I would argue that. Anyhow. I'm happy that you got to go.
Yeah, me too. Thanks. It was a whole shuffle. You showed up. Thanks for showing up.
I showed up.
You
it's
did.
Fine.
I
didn't show up
you.
To the concert. I just watched your children.
Mm-mm. Oh, and officiated a wedding since then.
I went to see Jesus Christ Superstar that same day, and it was very good.
You did.
Everybody, if you see the tour in production, it's really good. Everybody should go see it.
Mm. All right.
Well, all right. There's a long podcast, so we should probably keep it over.
We need to get over to it.
Yeah.
Mr. and Mrs. Whittle, we're coming at you.
Yeah.
Right now. There we go. We're recording.
Awesome.
We're not going to record that one because it doesn't have space left.
But we are verifying that we're recording. We've deleted a podcast before.
It was a year ago.
Oh, wow. Made it to you, huh?
Yeah, well, we listened to the podcast just to know it was. Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah. Also heard about your phone addiction.
Well, yeah, it was real. You want to talk about it?
Yeah.
I currently have an iPhone. I'm back to the iPhone.
Yeah.
But it's an iPhone SE. It's like the smallest, cheapest version. And I'm using a program called Opal, and it's completely locked down.
Cool.
So I can't use Safari. I can't use social media. I can use like my bank. You know, like I've found there's some things that are actually functional and healthy, and it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
So I've slowly allowed some of that back. But for the most part, yeah, it's just a phone.
Cool.
Yeah. It is, yeah. So it taps into your like your screen time and some of the tools that you'd use for like lockdown for children, and so it taps into that but then makes it extreme. So I could set it to where I can't bypass it at all, even like myself. And I have a schedule. So from 8:30 to 9:45, it opens up everything, so I can use it however I want. But I've deleted like all my social media apps off of it, so they're not even there.
Yeah,
and so I could use Safari basically. You know, it's the only interesting thing. But at 9:45, or I think it's 9:30, so it's only an hour. At 9:30, it locks the phone back, and so if I want to bypass it for whatever reason, I have to mute it. And if you want to mute it, you actually have to wait on the screen for 30 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't imagine how long 30 seconds is and how distracted you get in that time.
Yeah.
And if you move away from the app, it restarts the 30 seconds. So you can't like start the 30 seconds to mute it and then go to a different app and then come back and like mute it or, you know, like whatever it is, you have to stay there and look at it.
Mm.
And then you can only mute it for a total of 15 minutes. Now you can deactivate it. But if you're muting it, you can only mute it for a max of 15 minutes at a time. And every time you mute it throughout the day, the time it takes to get back to the mute extends.
Hmm.
So it's like it's very intentional about making it to where you're just
– it's impossible to use your phone unless you're calling people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And, you know, and like it's been really good. I don't – before I felt like I had to always have my phone in my hand. I had to be touching. I had to look at it. I had to – and over the last couple of months, I've – that desire for the first 2 weeks, it was hard when I had my flip phone.
Yeah.
But it was very intentional. Like I just jumped in cause I didn't have enough discipline to slowly wean myself off. So I just cut it. And then after 3 weeks, it was a whole process, but after 3 weeks I got a new iPhone, and making that transition was so much easier because mm-hmm. I already had broke some habits, and it's That's been cool. fantastic.
Cool.
Yeah.
I recently deleted all my social media. Well, I say recently. How long has it been?
5 years.
5 years.
Yeah, it's kind of recent. Yeah.
Great.
Whenever you delete your social media, you get like, you know, time doesn't exist anymore. So yeah,
it's true. You know,
yeah.
Well, this morning, Facebook and Instagram was down, and I was just like.
Were you dying?
Yeah.
I was like, I guess. Nobody exists in the world
I guess
anymore.
I'll just go be creative or productive.
I was like, man, I wish I had a book on me.
Well, then she came here and our internet was down. And so like,
yeah, I said, we're back in the 18th century today, I guess.
So the world is ending.
Yeah. Well, awesome. Let's get started. So today we have some awesome guests. We have Matt Whittle and Rachel Whittle.
Hello.
Hello, everyone.
And I will let last time I have a habit of introducing guests for themselves, but I'll let y'all introduce yourselves.
Oh gosh.
Can you just give us a little snapshot of what y'all do or who y'all are?
Yeah. You go first, Rachel.
Hi, I'm Rachel
and I'm an actress.
You don't have to introduce yourself to me. I already know you.
It's a conference.
She's literally like looking at me.
Corey does the same thing.
I work in film and television as an actor. I also produce, direct, work multiple different jobs behind the scenes, and I coach actors, I tape actors for auditions, and I teach classes. So all the things related to film, basically.
Multifaceted.
I like it.
My name is Matthew Whittle. Can you? Am I too close to the mic?
That's great.
So I am in the film industry as well. I think I'm also. Would you consider me an artist?
Yes.
Probably an artist. So it's, you know, multifaceted as well. I production design theater programs as well. Recently now a producer, I think. Yeah. So yeah, I'm a professional painter for sure. Like that's probably my main squeeze.
That's what I knew you as for the longest time.
Yeah.
Because I, background, I met Matt through CYT.
Yeah.
And along with Rachel through CYT. And they save the day all the time with their magical painting and set design. It's fantastic. You like look up, you look away for 5 minutes and then you look back and there's a set and it's pretty awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah. Do y'all have a family? Y'all have one.
We have one daughter. Her name is Adeline Whittle.
She also does theater, correct?
Oh, yeah. She's fabulous.
Yeah, singer, she's incredible.
Yeah, actor. She does film and television as well.
She's an incredible film actor. She really is. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
So it stays in the family.
Yes. Yeah.
That's cool. So we kind of talked about what y'all did. How did y'all get into doing theater and not theater? Well, I mean, you've done theater, but film and this art side of it.
Why don't you start with your story, or do you want me to go so you can think about it?
Well, you start, yeah.
Okay. I would say it's been maybe like 15 years.
But you started art in theater.
Yeah, so I grew up, my mom used to do these church plays. We went to like a kind of a mega church for the little town that we're in. I mean, it was a really small town called Hammond, Louisiana. And I mean, mega church being, you know, it was not that many people. So anyway, but it was a lot for the town. And my mom would put on these shows and she would production design the shows and paint. So I've been performing ever since I was a little kid. She would like make costumes for me and make me perform in front of the church. So I've been doing that for a very long time. So performing theater has been my life. And then she put a paintbrush in my hand when I was really little, taught me how to paint. And then I started doing hair because got married to Rachel and had to have some kind of career, you know? And so I started doing hair and then we just kept being drawn to Lafayette. Rachel's from Lafayette. Mm-hmm. So
where did y'all meet?
We met in Hammond. She went to the school there. There's a school there.
Just one
school. It's very, I mean, the college is probably like 6 people go there. You Perfect. Know, like, yeah.
That's not
so
true.
It's not. Okay, 30 people maybe. So we met at college. I was really poor, really skinny. She thought I was a poser because my clothes were falling off because I didn't own a belt. And I was constantly losing weight because I wasn't eating. Because I couldn't afford food. And then I asked Rachel to marry me. And then...
Oh, the jumps. The leaps in this story.
The leaps and the bounds.
I showed up and started feeding him.
Like the neighborhood cat.
Yeah, yeah. I'm trying to get to the movie part.
Sorry.
And then we moved to Lafayette. And... right when we moved here, like the story is crazy. We could go on and on about how we got to Lafayette and how amazing the story is. But we lived in this house and Rachel and we were like in this weird phase, right? We had a really tough, that was like one of the toughest years of our life. together. And so we went to a movie. It was Whip It, right? You remember that roller derby movie? Uh-huh. We went to Whip It, and Rachel was watching it, and she was like, "This is what I want to do with my life." And she joined.
You mean skate? Yeah.
Yeah.
She it had joined, nothing to do with film at that point. I just wanted to skate. I was like, "Wait, people do this? This is what I want to do."
Yeah. But I think it opened up a lot of doors for Rachel because she's gone through a lot of traumatic things in her life, PTSD. We don't have to go into it, but...
Well, no. I mean, that's the story I'll tell.
Yeah, yeah. I don't want to tell her story.
Don't tell her
story. I'm trying to tell my story, okay? And then so we saw that movie. Rachel started playing roller derby and then got into the acting. And she was like, "Matt, you should come do sets for film." And I was like, "No, that's crazy. I do sets for CYT. let me back up. Whenever we first moved here, Maria grew up with Rachel, Maria Williams.
Who is part of CYT.
Yes. And so she was like, "Matt, I know you're into theater and, you know, you do that kind of stuff. So you should come and teach classes for CYT. So when we moved to Lafayette right away, I already had like an instant friend base through CYT and met Gerald and all everybody. You too. You were there in the very beginning when I was there. Yeah. And so anyway... I started doing that and doing sets for that. And then, yeah.
Yeah.
Then Rachel was like, "You should do movies." And I, off the bat, which I don't recommend doing this as we were just talking about this, I would not recommend saying that you're a production designer when you have never production designed a film before. So I made that mistake. And people started calling me to production design things. And I'm like, "Yes, I can do that. But I have no idea how to production design."
Fake it till you make it.
Yeah, yeah. You fake it till you make it. And then finally, you know, I joined the union and been in the union for a while. And you just go on to these sets and, you know, you start to realize, oh, this is how professionals do it. Yeah, I get it now. Yeah.
So now you can say that you're a production designer.
Yeah. Well, I can't even say that. I'm not in the production design guild. So I would say that I'm a decorator.
Okay.
Well, yeah. That's also not true because you've literally production designed multiple movies, two that have premiered at Tribeca.
Yes.
Like as huge films, and like the art that he's able to create, he can build something from absolutely nothing, like the most amazing things.
Yeah.
He can make
I like to use coconuts.
Okay. Yeah, so you're definitely a production designer. You know, just with what you're able to create and visualize and take someone's ideas. Like he talks to the director and he can take those ideas and create the most fabulous things, even beyond what the director had in their own mind.
Mm. Yeah.
And we recently produced our own film and he built this room from nothing. It was a room with four, you know, like with gray walls, and he built all these false walls and these false windows and created like peeling paint off the walls and like carpet that looked like it was, I mean, the room looked like it had been there 100 years.
Well, y'all showed us Matt showed us a clip.
The trailer.
Yeah. And I was like, which warehouse is this?
Yeah.
And you're like, "Oh no, it wasn't a warehouse. It was just a room." And
yeah.
I was like, "Okay, sure."
Like when he did Lost Bayou in 2018, he literally took a houseboat that looked like, you know, I think it had been built in the 80s, but it needed to look like, you know.
It needed to look like an old man built a houseboat.
1910, 1920, and it was able to completely recreate it from, you just couldn't even tell that it was the same boat. So it's just
Rachel's
phenomenal.
Better at talking about myself than I am.
It's phenomenal what
most
he's
wives
able to
are.
Do.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he could make this room look like it was wood paneling, you know, and look legit.
Well, good. After this, I got some ideas for you.
What always amazes me, side note with Matt, is that he'll do these things and then look at us and he's like, "Yeah, y'all can like finish it out." And we're like, "I don't think you know what you just did. I personally cannot do that."
Callie's giving me the funniest looks. Like, I don't know. I'll show her something like painting wise. And she looks at me and she's like, "I can't. No, there's no way I can do that. I'm like, well, all right.
And also you'll say things, and because I took stagecraft in college, so I know like scenic art, like I get the concept. Can I achieve it? No. Like the act of putting like blue or yellow down, and then all of a sudden it's like not that, but you need the levels to it. I understand it, so I see what happens, but then I will literally turn around. I'm like, what happened? In the 5 seconds I was gone, it's a completely different color. It matches. And everybody's like, Matt's telling me to paint this color, and I just don't know. And like, I promise you it'll work out.
So yeah, I mean, the film industry, I think we've been in now for
12 to 15,
yeah. Something like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Well, Rachel, before we get too far, tell us a little about your story and like kind of how you got to this moment as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I did not grow up acting or doing anything film, stage, theater wise. You kind of wouldn't have caught me dead doing that sort of thing. I was kind of insecure and unsure of myself. And it's funny that Matt brings in roller derby. That was a big part of my life, but to me it doesn't have anything to do with the film side. But it was like a similar, I guess, time frame. But there was this girl in college, and she was like, I'm paying off my college tuition, my college debt, with these commercials that I'm doing. And I was like, that sounds cool.
Tell me more.
Yeah. I will do that. How about I do that? So I ended up getting an agent to try and do commercials, but nothing ever came of it. But soon after, she like sent a mass thing out to all of her clients saying that she recommended this certain class. Well, right before that, I had gotten officially diagnosed with PTSD from a severe, severe trauma from when I was a bit younger. And it's like I knew I had issues, but it was neat to have a label, because then I could be like, okay, let me look into this. Let me read about it. Let me understand. Oh, that's why A, B, and C is happening. That's why I'm functioning this way. That's why I have these issues. So it was kind of, it's not like I really love labels, but it was really actually helpful for me. And so a person, I don't even remember who, was like, you know, I really think that this sort of acting class, this pursuit is helpful in the emotional healing journey that you're embarking on. And I was like, okay. And so I signed up, and it changed my life. It became a safe space for me to explore emotions that were not safe for me to explore. I just couldn't explore in my real life. And even to this day, like, I have tried to quit acting so many times. I mean, so many times, because it is the most up and down, crazy career where you're just like, what am I doing with my life? And constantly,
it's so discouraging sometimes.
Yeah. And constantly it's almost as if I am unable to quit. And I feel like it's God, you know, like continuing to steer me in that direction, because I am able to access certain aspects of life and emotion and just the fullness of life as characters that I'm not able to access as Rachel. Yeah. And so when I started acting, it was like, okay, I'm going to start studying humans. And it was almost like I had to really start studying humans, because I couldn't access much of my own. Like, my experience was vastly limited based on my issues. And so I was like, okay, I need to understand how real humans live and experience things. So anyway, that's been...
Which sounds crazy to say, but it's true. Like, the PTSD is like, you know, her ability to access emotions was not there.
Yeah.
So that's why, you know, the acting classes helped, because she had to start accessing like fear, anger, you know, whatever.
Yeah. And it's amazing what I'm able to do as a character. And, because when I compare it to my real life, I'm like, wow. Okay. But so I got into the acting class, and then very quickly got into a short film, as an actor, and on set was just looking around and watching the process, and immediately knew, this is what I want to do. I want to be a filmmaker. And I started as an actor, but I immediately got into any, I just started showing up. I'd be like, what do you need? You need me to sweep the corner? That's what I'll do. I'll sweep the corner. Whatever it takes to help make this thing happen. I was so fascinated with the process and the camaraderie that is involved, and then the long-lasting aspect of it. You know, like Matt will put his heart and soul into something for theater, and I just don't, I'm like, but they're going to tear it down in like 4 days.
Yeah.
Like, why? Why would you put your heart and soul into something like that? Which I get now, you know what I mean? But for film, it's forever. So that's a fascinating part for me as well. Yeah. But, you know, since then I've worked wardrobe. I've cam opt. I'm an editor now. I can edit. I can direct. I can AD. I've AD'd mini project, which is assistant direct. I've produced. It's like whatever, I'm going to jump in and I'm going to learn how to do it. And it was all kind of to help me be a better actor. Cause I think it helps. I think it helps knowing all the things, but what that's all brought us to at this point is we just produced our first feature film and we were able to, I mean, the financial side of it, I'm still learning about, and the paperwork side about it, I'm not.
I think we're still learning. We're learning about everything.
But you know, it was scary, but I was like, you know what? It's fun. You know, I know more now than I did 6 months ago.
Yeah. And
so the best way to learn is to do.
One of my good friends, he comes from a family who can do anything. I mean, they don't have the label of engineers, but they're engineer minded. You know, they can do it. Whatever they think about, they can make happen. And he bought this old junk house on the end of their street, and it'd been there since we were kids. And you know, he's like, "Yeah, I'm gonna buy it and remodel." I'm like, "Dude, you're insane." and I'm like, "Do you even know what you're doing?" He's like, "Nah, I'm going to figure it out." So he gets in there, like there are stairs in the middle. He took the stairs out, built a new floor, the second story, made it an apartment, like did this whole. And I said, how do you do it? He said, necessity is the greatest teacher.
Yeah.
I owe money on this house. I need to make money on this house. You know, I'm going to bring my family into this house one day. And he's like, we're just figuring it out. Cool. And it's, I admired that. And that's actually a part of, you know, like who I am now is like, necessity is the greatest teacher. When you have to do it, you're going to figure it out. It's a new achievement unlocked.
Yeah.
But my first interaction with you, I don't know if you remember this, and I don't even remember what gig it was, but I think it was the one we did. Did you do the Cox event in Baton Rouge with Matt and Eric?
An event or a commercial?
It was like we videoed. It was like post COVID, or we're still very much in the COVID kind of thing, and they weren't bringing everyone together, and so the vice president and I think the president came in, and we did this big shoot recording, and it was Eric's project. Were you on that one?
I'm not sure.
Or was it? Maybe it was a different. Anyway, it was something with Matt Valentin.
Okay.
And I showed up, and then you were there, and I'd never met you, and you worked harder than anybody else out there. You know, like I consider myself a decent hard worker, you know? And you showed up and you were just getting it. And I was like, Matt, who is this lady? First of all, I was like,
who is this wacko?
And second of all, she's out working everybody.
She's hauling equipment.
Maybe it was
is
a UO.
The grip?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I just thought that was my first interaction with you. And you were just cool, calm, collected. You serious. You were working. And I'm a jokester and I just talk a lot. And you just kind of looked at me and just kept going, you know, like, and I'll never forget it. And then I just thought I was blown away by your work ethic and the fact that you just, to me, showed up. This random white lady showed up, and Matt's like, no, she's legit. And I was like, oh, yeah, she is.
Thank you.
And then, of course, like, we came across each other at CYT, and then Matt, I've heard about you, but never met you until just recently at Phantom.
Yeah.
And saw, like, the incredible work. This was the other thing. I heard about you. So I hired Matt V to come and do some work for me in August. He was coming to do some video work. Yeah. And he said, hey, I need you for a Sunday. You know, he's like, well, listen, I got this thing. And I was like, okay, whatever. I don't care. Just come and do this, and you can leave whenever. And so he's telling me about, there's this movie that I'm doing. He said, I don't really know what I'm doing, but I'm doing it with Matt Whittle. And I was like, yeah, I don't know who that is. He's like, well, he's incredible. He showed me, like, some of your stuff you're doing. I said, That sounds wild. He said, yeah, you want to come? I said, no, no, not at all. I'm not, that sounds like something I don't know anything about. And so I said, you know, as weeks progressed, it started, you know, starting seeing some BTS stuff. And
yeah.
And I was like, man, what a missed opportunity on my part. That looked awesome.
It was fun.
So yeah. Anyway, I heard about you and I finally met you the other day.
Yeah.
And really enjoyed our interaction. And then this kind of came up. I was really excited about it.
Cool.
So,
yeah,
you guys are killer. Excited. Like, and I didn't had, you know, of course, I met you and your daughter. Again, I didn't meet you, Matt, but I met your daughter and she's like, she did Pride and Prejudice, right?
Mm-hmm. She did.
And she was freaking killer.
Yeah.
And I was like, dude, this family is rock stars.
But also, you had Charlie. Really loved Fiona.
That's right.
My God. Yeah.
Charlie was obsessed with that. That's right. She did Fiona.
I feel like she was made for that role.
Well, and she was the sweetest. She like got down to Charlie and like loved on her. I think she gave her a flower.
Cute.
Yeah. And Charlie was like, it was her best day ever. Her absolute best day ever.
I love it.
It was like, that's been our favorite musical. I never liked the movie, but we have always been in love with Sutton Foster. And then when we were able to watch, we've watched Shrek the Musical like 50 times. And so I was like, that's it, Addie. If you could be that prepared for any role coming in the future, like,
exactly.
You're going to, because she just knew it. She knew everything about the role and the character. And she kind of is that character. She's just goofy and funny and, you know, weird and in a wonderful way, and she'll say it herself.
Yeah.
And so yeah, that was a big moment for us, for her to play that role.
I love that. What's like, so we've talked, y'all have done the both on screen and behind screens, on stage, off stage. What do y'all have a preference? Like do y'all enjoy one over the other?
Yeah.
It's hard for me.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes to what?
One hundo.
I like both. I think that I had a big, big moment as an actor sort of recently.
Don't give away your standby.
Oh, okay.
Hey. Good call. Nice.
I think that I like the process of making film. So if I better serve the project behind the camera, then that's where I want to be. And if it was like a role where I'm coming in and just a day player in and out, I mean, I'd rather be on crew, because like that's where the magic is. Like, I want to serve as an actor as well, but it's like, man, I want to be a part of the process of making this thing happen from start to finish if I can. And so it's like, if the role, you know, plays a big part and that's where I should be, then yeah, that's where I want to be. But if it's like, man, I'll be behind the camera, because I get to show up every day and work really hard.
Yeah. You're part
and
of
not
the
be
team.
Stuck in a trailer, you know, mm-hmm. waiting. I don't know. I like getting my hands dirty. I feel like I'm a boots on the ground laborer is what I kind of consider myself. Like, I want to be in the thick of it and I want to be working. And I'm happy there.
I love that.
I would say it's really difficult. I mean, I don't know if you guys know anything about the art side of movie making, but it's very different than like a CYT show. Especially, I guess you have to work yourself up to it. But like when I walk into the CYT shop or to any shop like that, everybody automatically knows that I know a lot about that aspect. And so they ask me questions constantly as soon as I walk in. I don't, you know, whatever. But when you're on a movie set, it's like there's tears, you know, clear tears. And so you don't get to make any decisions creatively until you get to the tippy top, you know? So it's really hard to get there. You have to be, you know, you'd have to just put in your dues and just keep doing it. And you have to know people. That's the great thing about the movie industry, is you work with some people and if you work hard, they're going to call you and ask you to come back to do another thing. So I would say that my favorite position is just recently being involved in the producing of the film, because I have a creative say. Like, we're sitting down editing our movie and I'm like, this shot is not playing. You need to cut right here, cut right there. And that's that seems to be fun to me because I'm creatively making a thing that you're going to watch one day,
yeah.
you know? So it's kind of cool. That's, yeah.
But you are also 100% visual, like creating the vision of our movie.
Oh, of
as
the
well.
Movie. Yeah. Well, I was the only art person.
You were at the tippy top. Then.
I was at the very tippy top, baby. I like to be at the top of all my products. I'm at the top.
It depends. It depends on the film. Like, you know, he's worked on multi-billion-dollar, whatever, however much it is for Disney, and he worked on a recent Paramount picture, and you just depends where you know how big that project is and where you fall, and you serve. A purpose in every
yeah.
level.
Yeah, yeah. It takes a team.
The ones like the indie films that he's been able to production design, it's a brilliant thing to watch because what he can see from nothing is mm-hmm. always blowing my mind. He's like, oh, yeah, yeah, okay, that's what you need? All right, I'm going to do this, this, and this, and this, and bam, it's there. I mean, y'all have seen it, right?
Yeah.
On stage. Mm-hmm. Well, it's the same thing for film, except it has to be so much more detailed because the camera gets so close.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you have to do 360, you know? Mm-hmm. It's like you can't just decorate the one wall. You got to decorate everything because the camera's going to move and turn.
Yeah.
And the thought that goes into, you know, what goes on this table. Like some people, he gets frustrated with directors who just come in and they're like, I don't know, just throw some boxes on it or something. And he's like,
well,
boxes would not live in this room. That doesn't make any sense. And he puts thought into every piece of, you know, like I'm looking at that cup of ranch dressing on the table. Well, that'd be something that he would put there because he, you know, in the sense of, all right, they had lunch a little bit ago. So we throw that in there.
It's purpose.
Yeah, there's purpose to everything that he does. Which
yeah,
is
the one the one thing I find super frustrating is when you work with people who are in the indie film sector, right? And they're directors in the indie film. They're not used to working with somebody. They're not used to working with a professional in my field.
Mm.
So they come in and they have no idea what it takes to dress a room or to do – they don't know what that means really.
Yeah.
And so and then they want their product to be good. They want their movie to be good. So they don't know that they can trust that you're going to do that. And so it's really – I have to find myself just biting my tongue and really like not saying anything and then just doing it. You
right.
know,
you don't know what you don't know. So
yeah.
they don't realize that if they put Whittle on it, that it's going to be the best thing they've ever seen.
Well, not necessarily, but it's going to be a thing. It's not going to be not a thing.
Yeah.
You know, like I'm going to put thought and effort into something, you know, whether you give me $5 or $1 million.
Wait, for viewers and myself, indie film clarification, that's just kind of like a...
Budget-wise, so any movie from like $10,000 to $500,000, $600,000.
Well, technically, indie means independent of a studio.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so you got studio films, they've got millions and millions of dollars. But you can have I was recently a part of an indie film that was $5 million. So it's like the number doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But in essence, when you say it, it is a lower tier, and you are sometimes working with like non-union professionals.
Yeah, it's not like a Disney production or a Paramount production. It's, you know.
And it could also mean $10,000 budget or $10 million budget.
So the one that you guys just did, was it indie? Indie
yes.
film?
Because
you
were independent.
Yeah.
So did you had to like raise funding for that? That's
we paid.
That one of your
we
questions?
Paid for
I
a
jump
good bit
ahead.
Of it.
It's part of it.
Is it next?
I had one more question.
Sorry. I'll wait then.
Jeremy, just wait.
I'm just going to try to.
I mean, my next question was, if you put me on
wait,
the
okay,
spot
stand
with my
by.
Question,
wait, okay.
It's
I'll just,
weird
I'll go back
to the next question.
I'll go back to what I was going to say before you interrupted me, which is.
I didn't interrupt you. You stopped and asked me a question.
You said, wait, let's figure out the indie thing.
Okay, sorry.
You interrupted me and then I interrupted you.
Continue.
Dang it.
I think our viewers will appreciate that interruption.
We can't argue in front of our guests.
Okay, continue.
All right. What I was going to say is that you would hate working with me because I am and when we're talking going back to like the purpose and I am function over form. If it functions, that's all I care about. Mm-hmm. Move on. Mm-hmm. And that is when I realized, because I have a history in videography, that's when I realized I wouldn't be a good video person.
Oh, wow.
Because I don't care. I care well, just enough.
Yeah, but that's the beauty of filmmaking to me, is the collaboration of multiple minds. Mm. And I'm a little more like you in the sense that the goal is the most important thing and whatever it takes to get there.
Yeah.
And yet that's why I need people around me that have a more creative flair.
Mm-hmm. And detail show oriented.
Me. So it, yeah. It's really a constant learning and growing and expanding of self. And like a passing of moments, right? It's like, okay, this is your moment. I need you to do your thing.
Yeah.
Okay, now, hey, sorry, your moment's over. I love what you did, but we got to move on.
Yeah.
You know, we got to get the next thing. And so it's just a beautiful collaboration of all sorts of creative minds.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. I agree. I think
there's... I have to open this. I'm sorry.
just for those listening who don't know he's what's going jerky. On.
I'm
going to
set this snack. Down.
Matt's opening a beef jerky with his... Yeah. Teeth.
There we go.
And soon you'll be hearing chewing noises.
Man needs a snack. This is a intermission. No, but you, like you said, I, you know, when I came into, you know, because I did it, my wife and I did wedding videography, and which is different. You know, everything is about the detail, mm-hmm. but it's already someone else did the detail, so I'm just capturing it. And when I came responsible for the detail and for the vision and for the, you know, the production, producing it, mm-hmm. I gained a whole new respect for the people who could see it mm-hmm. because I couldn't. And my wife,
that is a thing. It's a thing.
Yeah, yeah. And my wife's a storyteller. She can walk into this room and tell a story when it comes with a camera, and as she's doing the video, she's editing in her mind. And if she were to go from shooting it to sitting down and editing it, it's already done. She just needs to finish.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And she's got an incredible gift at that. And I'm again back to like the okay, what is the things that we need to get from here to there? But again, when I started working with real professionals, I gained a whole new appreciation for that level of the art and intentionality and really, you know, instead of like taking what you got and making something with it, making something and then capturing it.
Yeah.
So I think it's beautiful what what you can accomplish.
I think I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say we've had that thing of like, even from a light design perspective, I'll tell him, I'm like, hey, I need this lighting. He's like, what are you going to do with that? Why do you need that light?
Yeah, I'm like, explain it to me.
You're
yeah.
a true and, producer.
Yeah, and I'm like, I can't tell you. I just know that I need it, and if I have it, it'll look good.
It's the worst.
That's all I can tell you. You have to trust me on it.
I love it.
But sorry, what were you gonna say?
And I'm glad that he does, because what you produce lighting wise is,
I know it's ridiculous. It's so
don't
amazing.
Don't tell her too much. All right,
mind blowing.
Oh my god!
Give her everything she needs.
Yes, ma'am.
True. No, I was just gonna say, like, it's a constant learning experience, going through all the motions. And what the hardest, I think, the one hardest thing is to deal with people's. How would you say it? People's approach to work and how they work under pressure and their communication level at the highest points of pressure in a day, because film in and of itself is stressful. What is the saying? It's the most traumatic thing of your entire life. A film is the most traumatic thing. But then you watch the end product and you're like, okay, when are we doing the next one?
Dang.
You get what I'm saying? So it's like having a child.
We're all
it's the trauma. Studies. It's the trauma of having a child and being like, okay, when are we having another one?
Yeah.
It's the same kind of feel. So you will never be as stressed as you are when you're producing a film, when you're in the mix, and then having to deal with those emotions around you. You quickly start to realize who's your family, who's your team of people in that moment.
Listen, don't you bust your standby moment.
I know, I'm not.
No, it's definitely a huge thing that we talk about, of like, you pick who you, whenever you get a chance to pick who you want.
Right.
It's those moments that you are like in it with this person. And I always, whenever I have to like hire people for things, I'm like, it's not even necessarily skill level that I need. I need to know if something goes wrong in the middle of this show, you know how to handle yourself.
Yeah.
And like rein it in and get the job done, or just like accept it and move on. Because sometimes things goes bad, and it's just like we can't do anything about it. We're moving on. Yeah. So it's so true. People.
It's just thinking about. I mean, I've never heard it kind of said that way, but that is live production as well. Yes. I mean, it's production as a whole, but it's like it's such a rush. But when you can. You know, like our, you know, I'm in the church world, so our Christmas concerts are crescendo. I mean, it's the thing that we do. It's the biggest thing we do all year, and getting there is so stressful. And the week of, you know, when we're doing 90 hours of work in 1 week, and at the end of the week we have to rip it all down, and it never needs to exist again for 12 months. It's so stressful. But when we get to the show. And we see it, and I'm the first one to say, "This sucks. I hate it. We need to redo." You know, like I'm always like. Not impressed with what we do, and then we do it. We finally do it, and it's like, holy smokes, that was bad A.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah.
Is it Christmas yet? You know?
Is it? Can we do Christmas all year? Every month?
No, I don't know about that. My doctor wouldn't appreciate that, but.
Like, for Phantom, there was some things that just, like, I mean, that was such a high stakes show at the end of it.
It was so crazy.
I texted Jeremy and a couple other friends. I was like, all right, I have a lighting console for sale. I'm done. I'm out. And then, like, we wrapped the show. I was like, all right, let's go. Like, Ellis, when's the next one? What are we doing now? It is a. Our brains are so crazy in that, like, it pushes us to a place of sheer, it is life or death in that moment.
But I think it shows us, like, who we are and what we can do.
Oh, absolutely.
And it's the drive of, like, we could do that? Wait, we did that? You know, like, there's just something beautiful that pushes that constant tension of pushing us. Because we already know what what we're capable of. And in those productions and those moments is, like, you go to a next level that you kind of maybe didn't even realize or forgot about, and that to me is like the drive. It's the pull.
This is a perfect segue to my question that was going to.
But
be
Matt
asked.
Was about to say something.
I was going
to
say something really quick, Maggie, if you don't mind.
Sure,
of
course.
If you don't mind,
absolutely.
I was gonna say, the one thing that will stand out is can you keep your character. Can you keep your character in those lines of fire? Mm. And can you be consistent with everyone during that line of fire? If you're gonna be under stress and start yelling at people and being aggravated, you know, you might need to back off a little bit. But
have to apologize after. Or just admit, hey.
Yeah.
I was in a rough place.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
Because I think we can all get pushed. Yeah. Beyond.
Yes.
You know, like I know I did.
Oh, absolutely.
On our film.
Yeah. Yeah, we got pushed.
I lost my shoe a few times.
She edited herself. You don't have to do it, Maggie.
Thank you.
I think that's too, like the family that's created. And so that there's this forgiveness, you know, and it's like, all right. Cool. Let's link arms and do it again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, so this has been a topic for me. I often think it's one of the most magical things about production of like you go to the place with these group of people that you were either casted with by chance or you picked, and then you do this epic thing. And then at the end of the process, you all just like go your separate ways. You may work together in the future, but sometimes like there are many people that I will never work on a project ever again, but I had the most intimate work experience.
I know. Isn't that crazy? So
it's
nuts.
Wild. Like people just walking around the world who know me more than anybody, but we'll never see each other again.
Yeah.
However, and so it is cool, but y'all get to go home with each other every night at the end of these process.
So aggravating.
That's what I thought.
It's really cool that like Matt and I really, we like each other.
Yeah.
And we respect each other. Mm. And, you know, even it was interesting. We went through a really hard time at a couple points in our life. But
many.
but we took this test one time at this counselor's office and like at the point that we were at, like just relationally, there's an expectation of this certain score on this test. And when they got the test back, they were like, whoa, this is wild. 'Cause your respect level for each other is still top notch. Like you, like, it's like as if you have no issues in your relationship is how high a level of respect you have for each other. And that's what we've always kept. Like, I respect him and his creativity and just who he is as a man and just everything about him. And then he has, I think, right? Do you?
A very high respect for Rachel.
Had to double check. But yeah, like, we respect each other.
Had to double check.
No?
We had a little tip earlier, so. No, I'm just kidding.
No, so it's interesting because we come home and even working in the trenches with each other, I don't know, we come home and we're able to talk and really, like, we're on the same page on so many things, especially in the work world. So it's really fun. I think it's fun working with Matt.
With all the counseling that you and I have been through, you know, it's I think that's the one thing that's really held us together, because we've gone through some traumatic things in our relationship. I'm sure everybody has who's been married, but, like, with our trauma and then dealing with, like, her PTSD and then learning about it and then coming out of that and then this whole growing process in our lives, the respect has always been there. And so, you know, no matter what happens, it's like that's the one steady, true thing I think that's really probably been the underlining, like, holding us together. You know, I love her. She loves me, you know, but it goes deeper than that, which is good. That's what you want, you know?
Yeah.
It is special because, like, usually I say I don't know if I could work with, like, close people because I'm like, I need a, like, at the end of the day, Jeremy or whoever I'm working with, I'm like, all right, I'm going home. Like, we'll reapproach this tomorrow with a different light.
Oh, I'm sure Matt needs breaks from me for sure.
Yeah.
I'm an extreme introvert, so I need breaks from people in general.
Yeah. But it's great that y'all are able to work on that and to have it as a grounding factor.
Yeah.
Sure. Well, I think we're coming up on time, so we're gonna move. Wow, to a that was fast, moment.
Right?
It goes super
we're gonna
fast
have to do
time.
A part two. Yeah. We're 15 minutes in. And I thought, you guys, there's just so much that we can discuss and talk about. Like, we're gonna have to reinvite you. We have to invite you back because, like, there's so much depth to who you guys are as individuals, but also as like a couple. I would love to talk more about. So I just want to
Well, and I also want to get y'all standby moments, but before that, we owe it to y'all current project that y'all are working on. I want y'all to talk about it a little bit and give y'all I forgot the name.
Death Before Dawn.
Death Before Dawn. Y'all filmed. Are y'all still editing? Y'all are in the
editing process?
It's
a movie about Jesus.
I saw the trailer.
It is not.
If that's true, that would be a wild jump from trailer to Jesus.
Surprise!
It's all about the resurrection.
We're still in the editing process. We should hopefully have a locked cut soon. Then we'll get some notes, and then it goes into coloring and score and sound design, which takes a little time. And then it'll be ready, and we definitely want to do a premiere, you know, in town.
Oh, yeah,
and have friends and family come see it, which is fun. Like, it's a fun place to be because I mean, like, Matt Valentin the other day came up to me, and we've worked together for a long time. He was like, Rachel, you never told me, like, I had no idea you were in all these things. Like, my resume is pretty extensive. Like, I've done a lot of great work as an actor. I just don't talk about it. But then there are certain things that I really don't talk about. And someone's like, oh, my God, you never told me you were in that one. I was like, yeah. There's a reason I didn't say anything. Because, you know, it's like I'm not proud of the project. And so it's a really cool feeling to get to the end of something that you've put your heart and soul and money into. And you're proud to show it. Like, I can't wait to show it. I mean, it's what it is. It's an indie film. We made it to sell. What sells at this level is, you know, suspense, thriller, horror. So it's kind of got a few little elements of all of that. It's a CIA mission gone wrong. My character and my team, we get captured and tortured for information. And then there's like an element. Well, there's an element of bioengineering in there. Mm-hmm. And so then enter, you know, mutant humans that have been shifted by a poorly made serum kind of thing. So there's a lot of really fun things about it. And it's shot beautifully.
Yeah, we were very fortunate to get a group of people, because it, when you see it and you think indie film, you're gonna see it and be like, oh, this is next level. I mean,
it is.
Of all the projects we've been on, this is a really next level thing. It's not just like one of those, you know,
visually for dumb sure movies. It's next level. And it was just a perfect storm of things. Like, we did it because, you know, we're friends with it's all the Matts, right? We have Matt Whittle, Matt Garvin, Matt Valentin. And Garvin and Valentin's a DP, and then Garvin's a writer director and an editor, and they both were having we all have trouble leveling up if you don't have proof. So the actor's plight, and obviously the filmmaker's plight in general, is, you know, I can do this work. We'll prove it. Well, I can't prove it until I've done it.
Yeah.
Well, then we don't trust that you can do it.
Yeah.
But I have to do it. You know, it's this cycle, this constant cycle of catch-22. And so as a filmmaker or something, and an acting coach, something else that I do for my students is I try to build these reels, like where I just film scenes for them that look professional, look as if they were in a movie, so that they can say, look, here, see, I've done it.
Dang.
It doesn't have to be a
cheat
movie.
Code.
It just has to look like you've been in a movie, you know?
That's awesome.
And so we were like, well, let's do it. I mean, we wanted to produce anyway, so let's make this movie.
So you all did it together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we all did it, you know, at a discounted passion project rate, which will, you know, hopefully never has to happen again, but it's what we did to level up.
Yeah.
But I don't know this process, but if you sell it, in theory, like, you'll get that investment back.
Absolutely. Yes. We don't have any doubt at this point that we'll at least make our money back.
We didn't make the movie. Okay, let me start over. We didn't want to make a movie that we knew we couldn't sell. So we have a sales agent that was like, if you make the movie, if you do this script, I can sell this movie.
Wow.
So,
or just put these elements in it.
Like, yeah.
Awesome. This is what sells.
Kind of coaching you through it.
Yeah.
And he's very confident that he can sell it.
Well, that's awesome. I can't wait to see it.
Yeah. I'm excited. And I'm also kind of like, I feel like an idiot for not volunteering my time. You know, like showing up.
Jeremy, we're offended.
Always, I mean, always show up. That was just my thing. Like, I just, my whole career, I was like, I'm just going to show up, because you never know what you'll learn and who you'll meet and the networking opportunities. And
which I am very much that person. Like, there's events, lots of events that I just show up to, and I've become introverted, and I don't want to, you know, and I'm always excited after I leave and I do it. It's getting like from this point to that point is the hardest part.
Absolutely.
And I know this, and it's just like, man, what a missed opportunity.
We're going to do it again.
We're going to do it again.
I promise I'll show up.
That's like our, you know, what
Well, that's getting into the other things.
Oh, sorry.
All right.
So, yeah, our standby moments. Y'all have obviously listened to the podcast, but for those who, this is our first time listeners, we ask our guests for a standby moment. The name of the podcast, it's where it came from. We found ourselves doing this work with people that we really enjoyed, and we loved the conversations that we were having with people and those standby moments where we're just waiting around for the next thing. But it's also those moments that just make you take a step back, look at the situation, really like appreciate what has been done, and you've done it with, and that those moments. It could also be a bad moment where you've had to take a step back and just
reevaluate.
But it's those small moments that make this worth it, that push us to life or death experiences and those tension moments. So I'll turn it over to y'all. What's y'all standby moments?
You want to go first, or you want me to go first?
Well, I'm sure whatever Matt's going to say is both of our standby moment for that sort of thing. But I have a whole different one that I'll wait and say after.
Okay.
We were trying to figure this out, but I think the standby moment, if I had to pick a moment that's recent, that's here and now, is this movie process. And we're in this place in Lafayette, and we have a lot of talented people. There's a lot of people who want to work, and there's a lot of our friends have been calling like, hey, you have any work right now? You know, like, we're trying to like be creative. And Rachel and I really have a passion for creating an environment or creating a culture of people and an empire, for lack of a better term, an empire of a situation where we're doing these movies more frequently, or we're doing projects more frequently, and able to pull in people like yourself and pull in people to do that, and then doing this process, and then realizing that it's coming to fruition. It's slow starting, just like this podcast room is not going to be your podcast room forever.
Yeah,
you know, so it's going to progress and get better and better, you know. So that was my standby moment just recently, is just like realizing that we're putting something into motion that's going to start snowballing, especially if we sell this movie and we get an investor. What if we get, you know, what if our next movie's $600,000? What if the next one after that is $1 million? You know, it's just going to keep steamrolling. And then, so that's where we're at. It's just for my standby. Hmm. One of them.
I like it.
Did that answer the standby question?
It did.
Necessarily?
Okay.
Yeah.
I think it's the realization of like what you're building.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, like you work, you put your head down, you grind it out, and then you pick your head up and you're like, holy smokes, it's coming together.
Yeah.
That's the standby moment. Yeah. For
you realize
sure.
What you're working on.
Yeah. Where you're standing in the shower and you're like, holy smokes.
Yeah.
It's coming together.
Yeah. It's a perfect time.
Sitting on the toilet. Squeezing one out. Oh, my God, it's coming together.
Yes.
Comedian Matthew Whittle. Something some people don't know about Matt is for about 8 years, he was a part of a sketch comedy improv troupe.
Whitney knows that.
That traveled around.
We got
around.
A text about it. I forgot. Whitney was like, yeah. Matt did stand-up. I was
yeah,
like, I
well,
didn't
it wasn't stand-up. It was a sketch comedy with a troupe, like three people, sketch comedy and improv. And it would just... It killed. It was brilliant and hilarious, and he's got such an amazing stage presence and stage comedy. Anyway,
he's our comic relief for like Lodens.
Yeah,
yeah. So I think you should bring
it back. They give me a microphone, and I just stand there and watch people walk in. I don't even do anything. I just tell people what to do,
and they laugh. While they cry.
Yeah. Okay.
They laugh while they cry.
So my standby moment is a little on the other side.
How much time do we have, by the way?
However long
you need. Oh, great. Yeah. Good. Okay. Yeah. Go for it, babe.
Because this is a story. All right. So as an actor, okay, so this sometimes, you know, I'm a filmmaker and sometimes that's all I am is I'm an actor. Well, as an actor, I don't know. I get on these projects sometimes and I don't know. I look into the sky and I say, what the heck am I doing with my life? Because this is dumb. And this is not the story I want to be telling. Mm. You know, I do Lifetime movies sometimes. And those aren't, you know, sometimes they're just...
They're there.
And you're like, what is this? And then sometimes you're getting on projects where the money's not there, which is okay. I understand. Like, we just did it. But you can just tell the difference when the money's not there because someone's, you know... skimmed a ton off the top and we're left with not enough money to do what's expected and everyone's being taken advantage of and that kind of thing. And I just not this past September, but the September before that, I was on a project and it was just kind of like the final straw of like, I don't know. I don't know if I want to do this anymore as an actor. Because you audition all the time and you finally book something and you go on this job and you're just like, wow, this just doesn't feel worth it.
Mm. Yeah.
And I mean, I love people. So there's always that element of like getting to know people and experiencing that. But right after that, I get this script that comes across my desk. And when I read it, like my mind was blown that I was even reading this script. By the person that it was by, like it was a hero of mine in the medical freedom realm. And if anyone knows anything about me, I'm really passionate about health freedom. I'm passionate about, you know, that sort of thing. And this movie was a whistleblower story about fraud in the pharmaceutical industry. Mm-hmm. True story. And I was like, there's no way, but I'm going to audition for this and I'm going to, you know, throw it out there and then I'm going to show up and just be a background, you know, because I want to be on this. I have to be on this project. This is like my story. I have to.
And so I auditioned, and they had like offers out to like Jessica Biel and all these other things for the role that I had auditioned for. So I was just like, I'm not going to get it. But really, it's like a controversial subject to a certain degree. Mm. And if you had
it's like a make or break.
If you had a career already, it's probably not wise to put your foot into this. Like maybe throw money at it, but don't put your face on it.
Yeah.
Because it's gonna, you know,
catch some heat.
Yeah, catch some heat. And so the director called me, and I remember this moment like never before, because I'm driving across the Atchafalaya and Addie's in the car with me, and I start weeping because he's like, it's yours.
It's awesome.
I can't, like, this is your role. And I was like, great, because I don't have a career to lose. So I'm in. Like, I'm in. You know, this is the story that I want to tell. And it was the biggest moment for me. It's still to this day. Like, I could quit acting today and have made it in my own mind.
Wow.
To tell this story and to be a part of this movement. And it's already opened me up to this community of people that, you know, are in this fight. Like the people that, like I always said, I was like, you know, Tom Cruise could walk in the room and I'd just be like, hey, what's up? But these people who have been on the front lines fighting for our freedom and have lost everything because of it, I just like those people walk in the room like, oh my God, hello, hero right here. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They fight in the Supreme Court and stuff for us.
And respect for everything Tom Cruise has done. I mean, he's phenomenal. But you know what I mean? Like, it's just like this. These are my heroes that I'm
glad
rubbing.
You said that because he listens to our podcast.
No, he's amazing.
Save me, Tom Cruise.
But honor and like to be rubbing shoulders with these people and be like linking arms for something that matters so much. I'm just like,
it's not make believe.
This is it for me. And so I was the lead on a $5 million movie, and it changed my life. And at the end of that, because it was like the money was there to do it right, the producer team was just so amazing. And you could tell when people care about people and being on a project that people cared about everyone. And everyone was also in it because they wanted to be, you know, and because like some people maybe took a pay cut to do the job they were doing, but they did that because they wanted to be a part of this story. And so it was just the most magical experience of my life. And the process since then, like I've been able to go to a couple conferences and speak and meet people. I met some amazing people. I met Robert F. Kennedy Jr. and he knew my name. I was like, what the? He's been on the front lines fighting for medical freedom and for children's health for 30 years. Like, he was the reason that mercury got taken out of the vaccines. Like, like his fight. Not just him, obviously, people around him, but you know, he made sure and followed through because he's a lawyer, and he followed through on making sure that stop poisoning our kids, and he's still on the front lines fighting for things. The movie's supposed to premiere in New York on May 31st and then be in theaters all across the U.S. And then there'll be an app where you can watch it. It's called Protocol 7. And there'll be an app where you can actually like pull it up and watch it on your smart TV. And an accompaniment with that is like all the documentaries that they've done as well. Because it's an advocacy film. It's a true story. It's based on a true story. And
it's got a lot of facts in it. It's very factual. So I think the app kind of like helps you like
process through that.
And they can cite like this is where we got this information, and you can look it up.
Cool.
And
kind of like their biography.
Because a lot of people are going to try to debunk it and, you know, say that it's not real, but it's 100% real, and these are the documents. Here you go.
Yeah. That's awesome.
So that's potentially life changing.
So how long was that?
We shot for 30 days.
Dang.
And then that was November.
Yeah, Protocol 7, that's it.
Ended November 22.
Producer is geeking out back there. She doesn't have a mic today, but she's geeking out.
So it's been a long process of editing and getting all the things in order and you know, all the facts straight. And it's brilliant because, like, you'll be able to watch it, and in the end, in the credits,
they'll have all these beautiful facts that you can learn, that you're going to be learning, and then you can QR code and see exactly where to read about this. Here's this study. Here's this.
That's awesome.
You know, because I'm just super passionate about keeping big pharma accountable.
Yeah.
Because so often they're not.
Yeah.
And they just throw drugs out there. Like, my whole journey started with a prescribed antibiotic that almost killed Addy.
Wow.
And yeah, that's what got us on this road. At that point is when I was like, wait a minute. I can't just blindly trust that big pharma has my best interest at heart.
They don't.
Okay. So that was...
That's a whole nother...
That's what I was going to say. Welcome to our podcast. This is Conspiracy Theories.
No, that's awesome that you get to do a project that you are passionate about.
Yeah.
Those are awesome achievements.
And it's not like you had to... I don't know. You didn't have to compromise for it.
Yeah.
It's almost like God delivered it for you, and it's not a break, it's a make.
Yeah.
In a lot of areas. Yeah. And so it's
going to be a hard road, you know, just because of the controversy that may arise, but I don't care. Like, I mean, that's what someone was like, well, you're just an actor. And I'm like, but I'm not. I'm not just an actor. Like, I'm an advocate for this cause and for risk awareness in the pharmaceutical industry. And, you know, so I'm like, I can't just, you know, hole up in the corner and just pretend that I was just an actor on it. No, I walk this walk. I believe these things. And I know, you know, I've lived that life. And so, I have injured people in my family from pharmaceuticals. So.
Tell them about that. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Jeremy.
Well, I was just going to say, so in all of that, what was that moment for you? What was that like where you just were like, holy smokes? Was it on the Basin Bridge when it all clicked for you?
I think I've had so many moments, like pinch myself moments, and they just keep coming, you know, like being able to be a part of these conferences and meet these people. And
that's amazing.
And be a part of that community is a moment. And then as an actor, like thinking, okay, I did a good job. You know, I feel like I've gotten to this point. Like, when I first started my career, I wasn't very good. And it took a while to figure it out. And the last couple of years, I think I've figured out. It's like a launching point for even more growth. You know, like, I haven't arrived, obviously. I'm going to keep growing, hopefully keep changing, keep becoming better. But I know I did a good job. So that's a moment where I'm like, okay, this will set me up to show. Like, I can do this.
Mm-hmm.
This is my reel, right?
Yeah.
Like, you can trust me and hire me for your project because, look, I've done it over here, which is the biggest thing for an actor.
Right.
Is like to say, yes, you can trust me with the work, because you can't trust if you don't have anything to prove it. So the proof of an actor, but even more so just the telling of a story that matters.
Yeah.
And then being connected to the team of people that made it.
That's awesome.
Well, guys,
come to our time.
Nice.
It's the moment. Hey, thank y'all. Seriously, this is so much fun.
Yeah.
And we're
thank
definitely
you for having
have
us.
To do a part two.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Especially by the time we do the part two, the premiere will have happened. We could talk about like some of that, the backstory to the journey. And we could talk about art. I mean, I don't know anything about art, but
art's boring, man.
Art's so boring.
Nobody wants to hear about art.
Yeah.
I
love art.
Seriously, thank you all so much. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
This has been awesome.
Thanks.
All right. Well, guys, the listeners, thanks for joining us. We hope you liked it. Share it. Talk about it. Go support the Whittles. Their movie's going to be coming out soon. We'll give you some information about that. But thank you all so much.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah.
Well,
thank you all.
We'll see you. Oh, there it is. I pressed the right button this time.
You did. Press the right button.
There's a song.
All right. Bye, guys.
See y'all later.